just about 60 to 70 psalms, almost half of the 150 total psalms, fit in this category, either in part or in whole. In contrast, there are roughly 30 to 45 psalms strictly centered on praise and thanksgiving. One would think that a chunk of scripture pretty much designed as a worship book of sorts for the ancient Hebrews would have included more writings about praise and less about lament. But let's take a closer look at how everything is configured. Psalm 22 is a popular example of a classic psalm of lament. Let me just highlight a little bit of it because it's a long one. As you listen and read along on the screen, pay special attention to the parts in bold print. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries and anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, and I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. If you, our ancestors, put their trust. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It is melted within me. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots on my garments. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and the families of the nations will bow down before him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. What did you notice about the parts in bold? My God, why have you forsaken me? They cast lots on his garments. They pierced my hands and feet. It's crucifixion, right? The mirroring of the events of the crucifixion is one of the reasons this psalm is so historically and theologically significant. It also brings to mind the fact that unlike the ancient worshipers who originally used the psalms, we have even more reason to praise God because we know the story of Jesus and what it means to be redeemed by his death and resurrection. This psalm of lament follows the typical structure and four-part journey of other such psalms. Complaint, the feeling of abandonment and suffering. Petition, a cry to God for immediate help. Trust, remembering God's past faithfulness. And praise, concluding with a vow to worship and declare God's goodness. So even in the midst of crying out to God for help, there is a movement into trust and praise. Praise in our English definition means to glorify, admire, and adore. Looking at the Hebrew word, though, gives much more depth to the term, mainly because there is more than one word in Hebrew that translates to our English words, praise and thanksgiving. In Psalm 100 and 150 specifically, there are six words to contemplate. There's todah, translated as thanksgiving. It means an extension of the hands in adoration or an offering of sacrifice of thanks, often in faith. There's tehillah, And you'll have to forgive my Hebrew pronunciations. I'm not sure how good they are, but I'm trying. There's Tehillah, which translates as praise, and it derives from the root word for singing, lauding, and adoring God. There's Zamar, translated as sing praises. This refers to specifically making music and praising God with stringed or tuned instruments. There's Yada, often translated as praise or give thanks. It means to throw out the hands in surrender and publicly acknowledge God. There's halal. This is the most common root word in Psalm 150, found 13 times, appearing primarily as hallelujah in phrases like praise the Lord. It means to shine, boast, celebrate, or, I love this one, act clamorously foolish in wild, joyous, unrestricted praise. I don't know about you, but I can't think of the last time I acted clamorously foolish in praise of God. And then, of course, there's hallelujah, which is where the halal comes in, used to start and conclude Psalm 150. So it's a compound word. You have the halal or hallelujah, meaning praise, and then Yah, the shortened form of Yahweh or Lord. So it literally means praise God. So next time you sing hallelujah or say hallelujah, it literally means praise God. Now, how do we go from studying praise in the scriptures, specifically in the Psalms, to implementing this praise into our worship and everyday lives? As a church, we have worship pretty much built in, right? We sing songs, we read God's word, we pray, but praise is not only for Sunday mornings or for the times we're all together, for that matter. Praise is ongoing, never ceasing, constant. To stretch ourselves praise-wise, we have to consider the following: who we praise, why we praise, when we praise, what praise looks like, and how we praise. So first, the who and the why. We praise God the Almighty, amen? The creator of all things, all times, and all seasons. We praise the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who was and is yet to come. We praise God for all God has done and created, and simply because of who God is. Praise God for his mighty deeds. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. When do we praise? Well, obviously we praise here. Literally, as Psalm 150 says, in his sanctuary. But remember what we've talked about before at Pentecost. God was originally in the tabernacle, which is kind of the moving sanctuary, right? And then went in the cloud of fire, the pillar of fire, the pillar of smoke, or pillar of cloud. And then God eventually's presence was in the temple. And then once we had Pentecost, and you had the little fires above everybody's head, right, symbolizing that we are now God's sanctuary. The kingdom of God is within us. So if we are people of praise and we praise God in his sanctuary, it's not just in a building, it's wherever we are and can praise God. We are to be people of praise, meaning our praise to God is wherever and whenever we are, and that means praising God in good times and bad. 1 Thessalonians tells us, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Give thanks in all circumstances. Notice it doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. We are to be thankful through the good and through the bad, even though we don't have to be thankful for the bad. So we know who we praise, and we know why we praise, and when, because our praise is and should be ongoing. But what does that praise actually look like? And exactly what do we do? And how do we do it, especially when we're talking about praise outside of Sunday morning worship? Well, of course, I talked to the kids and youth down here about noticing the things of God. According to author Tammy Rutkin, praise and worship is a lifestyle. What kind of worship does the Lord require? Does he demand great acts of self-sacrifice or simple acts of humility? So often we believe that loving God and living a life of worship is one monumental act after another. Consequently, most of us give up. We know we aren't up to the task of living large all the time. Mother Teresa once said, "We can do no great things, only small things with great love." It isn't our worship and praise of the Lord God Almighty, about love. Love for Him and love for one another. It is indeed. Our worship is not about big acts, but all the seemingly insignificant things we do in love. So I want you to think for a second about all the activities you do at any given day. You can think of what you're doing today, you can think of what you did last week or yesterday or something coming up, but think about all your activities you do in a typical day. Your work, your chores around the house, the driving you do to get your kids from this place to that place, everything that you do in a day. Got some things percolating? Okay, so I want you to turn to some people around you and take just a few minutes and tell each other what some of your typical days look like and what are some of the typical things you do in a day. All right, so someone share a typical day activity. Just popcorn out an activity. Walk the dog. Make breakfast, yep.
Devotions.
Watching kids or grandkids, yep. What was that one? Bible reading, yep. Doctor's appointments, dentist appointments, yeah. Mow the grass. Wash dishes. Yes, drink your coffee, yep.
Work.
Yep. Volunteer. So all of these things, from the elaborate to the mundane, from the fun to the boring, are all things that we can praise God for. Consider this adaptation of Psalm 150 by Joy Elizabeth Lawrence. Praise the Lord with me, my friends. Praise Him outside and inside, for it's all His. Praise Him for what He's done, what He's doing, and what He will do. Praise the Lord while picking lettuce, picking up children, pitching a baseball, or making a sales pitch. Praise the Lord when you wake up in the middle of the night and when you get drowsy after lunch. Praise the Lord when you listen to country music, when you drive through the country, when you think about your country. Praise the Lord when the worms crawl out after the rain. When the rains don't stop, when the rains don't come. Praise the Lord even when you have considered all the facts, when you can't solve the problem, when no one listens to your good solution. Praise the Lord loud with your windows down, even when you don't know the words. Because if we all did this at the same time while we were at the stoplight, it would praise the Lord. The things that God has done and created and who God is and even the everyday, ordinary things of life are worthy of our praise. There is so much to be grateful for and so much reason to be people of praise. And now the final part. What does the praise actually look like? Is it singing and praying? Yes. Is it creating art or poetry? Yes. Is it saying thank you, God, for this thing or that thing? Yes. Is it simply being mindful and noticing how something is of God? Also, yes. I read somewhere about this, so it's not my idea, but I do use it. Every once in a while, I will catch myself saying thank you to God for my full dishwasher. And then I have to keep running it and emptying it darn near every day. Because it means that I am able to feed my family, that we are able to have good food at home, that we are able to eat together. So I love that I get to empty my dishwasher every day, or especially when Ella does it. She does a good job at emptying the dishwasher. Thank you, Ella. You're probably listening downstairs while you're hanging out with Ezra. So thank God for your dishwasher. Did you ever think of such a thing? Thank God for just the ability to have food in your house. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for all the boring and mundane things in addition to all the great things. And now we lift this prayer to you, written by Rich Ronald. We shout with joy this morning. Thank you for new days. Thank you for fresh starts. We bring our worship to you, great King. Thank you for putting a song of praise on our lips. You are God. You are not just a feeling. You are not just some ancient theology. You are alive. You are the one true God. You have always been. Even before time began, you were, and now you are. You formed us. We belong to you. You made us. You have watched over us every day of our lives. You are the only one that can make sense of our world today. We open our hands and ask you to lead us, guide us, give us wisdom, protect us, take care of us like a shepherd takes care of his lambs. Wherever and whenever we worship you, we lift our heads with great gratitude. Yes, we are thankful. You are everything that is right and beautiful. You are generous and gracious. You are love and faithfulness. You are peace and grace. You are forgiveness and comfort. You are joy and patience. You have always been, and you will always be. We humbly thank you and proclaim our love for you today, O God. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.